Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man who needs no introduction, but we'll introduce him anyway, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, how are you, my friend?
Good. I heard, speaking of captains,
yes,
I heard that Marvel actually landed with the Thunderbolts movie.
And it's really
good. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about it.
Interesting.
Funny thing too, Bill Pullman, the president in Independence Day, Bill Pullman.
Okay.
His son, dude, his son has the most old school. His son's name is Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Lewis Pullman.
Okay.
Lewis Pullman plays Sentry in this movie, if you're a comic book nerd. So, and Lewis Pullman was actually in Maverick as well, too, as one of the pilots. Both of his characters in movies are named Bob first, and then reintroduced to them as other names. But yeah, interesting stuff. Anyway, I found it really interesting that a Marvel movie was actually good after all these years.
Right.
And
right.
And it's making, I think it made $76 million over the weekend, which is really good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, really good compared to a lot of the other flops that we've seen. So
yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Fun times, though.
Right on. But, right on. Well, how is the local church this Sunday, man? How was the Lord's Day?
It was good. I did, I've talked about it here. So after we do one worship song or hymn, we usually do what we call a gospel welcome. That's kind of introducing you into why is it that we're gathered here?
Yeah.
what are we doing here? You know, and why? Right. We're doing this because we're gathering on the gospel that Jesus is in our midst, that he is ministering to us. And so, it's actually, I may have said this before, but it's a take off of what 10th Avenue Presbyterian in Philadelphia used to do every Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So it is a reversion of that. Other people have done it as well too, and then we've kind of gone off of that as well. And so yeah, I did that, and then I also served communion. So
okay.
That was pretty fun. And then
awesome.
Did we talk about it last episode where I just did, or I was going to do Exodus? I think we already.
We did
on that.
We talked about it. Yeah. Yeah.
My mind still is like, dude, the connections.
Yeah. No, I get you. It's been a long
board,
week. Dude.
The board on the wall and just making those little
it's
red
been
lines.
A long week.
It's been a long week. Like it, so
yeah. Yeah, it has. It has. There's no shade. There's no shade. But, yeah, no, church went well for us too. Finished up the book of Hebrews last Sunday. We were in the final verses of verse chapter 13. So wrapped that up. That was pretty cool. We've been in it for over a year. It's always weird when, I mean, preaching expositionally, right? You're going to spend more time in books than churches that don't usually, right?
Yeah.
So it's always a weird feeling when you come to the end of a book, especially a longer one like Hebrews. You're like, wow, we've been in this for a while. I don't know like what to feel. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with myself. I graduated.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Exactly. I don't know what to do with my hands right now, right? But it's good. It's good. Been looking forward to summer. I've got the last young adults before summer hits tonight. We're talking about baptism and the Lord's Supper, so it's sacraments. So ending with a banger, of course. And yeah, dude, it's been good. It's been good. A lot of things coming to an end, but all good things.
Yeah, one of my pastors preached. We're going through a series of the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and he tied in this idea of rest, like biblical theology of rest.
Yeah.
So what does it mean for God to rest on the seventh day? Well, it doesn't mean that he just is tired or anything like that.
Right.
It's literally this idea that he's sitting on his throne now.
Yeah.
And he's sovereign.
Yep.
So, and then tying that into Hebrews, he actually tied that in pretty well into Hebrews as well too. Chapter 4. And so that was a cool little, I mean, most, and he was really focusing on the, which this will tick maybe some recovering, or this might trigger some recovering fundamentalists off.
Sure.
He was like, Genesis is not a book about the how or the why. It's about the who. Like, who are we being introduced to in Genesis? Like, who is this God? Who is this creator, you know, that makes man? So cool series.
All good stuff
to start right on off. So
well, Jack, today is a special day because we on the Reformatory with the desire that we have to always be fresh, to be innovative, to be people of the people.
To be edgy, as Pat Abendroth says.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. To lean into the edginess. We have created for the listening pleasure of our listeners a new segment that we are going to be rolling with here, usually near the top of the episodes. This segment we have called and titled, well, Jack, I'll let our new segment intro give you a little idea as to what we're calling this new segment. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the new Reformatory segment.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
That turned out so well that I thought it was going to.
It's the new segment called Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams, where you give us the grams and we hopefully give you the grins. And what this is, Jack, is a new segment in which you and I, as churchmen, dive into the deep pit that is online Instagram reels, specifically dealing with reels having to do with the local church. And we watch these reels together, and we bring these reels, these culinary masterpieces, to the people so that they too can be informed of all the goings on in the social world that we live in. So, Jack, we are going to do that right now. I have for our first segment an absolute wild reel that was sent to me by one of my members. Her name's Jess. Sent to me this, and it was just a text that I got, and she just said something akin to check your Instagram. I just sent you something wild. I'm like, oh no. All right. So listeners, you're going to be able to hear what this is, but we will also be able to see it on YouTube. So it's a brand new segment. There might be some hiccups here and there, but bear with us. But Jack, I have a question for you before we watch this reel. Have you ever thought to yourself, huh, you know what Easter Sunday needs? I know. It's a parody of a Wicked song Broadway, from the Broadway show Wicked.
Baby, what's
have you ever doing? Have you ever thought that?
Not in my slightest mind, Josh.
Not in your slightest mind? Okay, well, then you, my friend, are about to get the treat of your life, because thankfully someone else has thought that for us. Jack, I present to you...
Oh my gosh.
The new Easter banger. I was going to say sponsored by, inspired by the show or the movie, the musical, Wicked. And Jack, wait till you hear the lyrics of this absolute amazing song. Here we go.
He hadn't done anything wrong, but it's like he's saying, I'm the one you want. It's me. It's me. So if you care to find him, look to the eastern sky, as he had promised lately. Yes, he'd die, but the third day he'd rise.
Okay, so before we get into the finale, you know, the grand crescendo of this song, thoughts. I got to say, the production on this is, you know, I mean, she's really going for it.
I mean, whew.
Really going for it.
I wish somebody was as honest as I'm going to be in this whole entire segment right now, because this is not it. You is not the singer for this song. I'm going to be so truthful about this.
Well, you really are judging before you.
I'm okay. Sorry. Vocals are rough right now, Josh. It is really taking me aback.
All right. But if you care to find him, look to the Easter sky. I mean, dude, she's pointing to Easter, right? I mean, you know,
sure.
Okay. Well, sure. Let's keep listening.
And if you want to rise to his love, can set you free. To all those hurting, take his message back from me. Tell them how he's defying graves for me.
He's defying graves for me. Let's just take a moment to appreciate the lyrical excellence of this church that thought, you know what? This is what the people need. This is what the people want, is a cover of Defying Gravity. Hold on. Let's continue.
He's risen high, defying grace for me, for his glory and renown. And nothing that I've ever done, no wickedness there ever was.
Okay, before we get in, can we appreciate the other lady that's in this that's just reacting to the whole thing?
She's like, literally a mime right now.
She's just standing there
doing these miming facial things.
Yes, like, yes. It's like the interpretive dance behind the singer, right? Yeah, exactly.
It's like The Office.
She's really,
where they were doing like the Chris Brown thing, and like all the dance montage.
I'm waiting her to break into the Carlton, like behind her, you know? Dude, okay, Jack, let's hit the finale here, brother. We're almost there.
Is ever gonna bring God down. Can bring
Nope. That ain't it.
You want into that?
Dude,
that, I was moved.
That was breaking glass at that point. That last finale was
chewing glass.
Oh gosh.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the new segment. Don't forget to eat your instant grams. We would love for you to send us DM us at the Reformatory Podcast
right, on Instagram. Send us your most wild, unhinged local church reels, and we will feature them on our brand new segment. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We know we did. And Jack, my friend, it's time to actually hop into something that's a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. All right. Something, honestly, Jack, that would help with, I'm going to try to segue here. Something,
it's a hard pivot,
something,
Josh.
You know what this church needs? You know what this church needs? This church needs a biblical understanding of covenantal membership in their church, because if they did, part of that is people coming alongside you, putting their hand on your shoulder, and as Jack loves to say, oh, baby, what you doing? What's going on here? Okay, yeah. We all need people like that in our lives, and the best place to get that is in the local church. So we today are talking about the importance of living in covenant community. Jack, when we talk about living in covenant community within the local church, what are we talking about, brother? Is this just kind of your average platonic friendship, maybe like a, you know, like a country club or like a Costco membership or something like that? Or is it something, Jack, dare I say, that defies gravity? Is it something that is deeper than the simple platonic relationships?
What was that lady saying? Defying graves for me or something like
He's
that?
He's defying graves for me.
Here we go.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about being in covenantal relationship with one another, we're really going back to church membership. Like, why, to a degree, like, why are you covenanting with a local church? Why is it important that you do that? What are the ramifications for being in a covenantal relationship with God's people in a local church that is church membership? And then that's basically, I mean, the big things that ring in my head when I hear of covenantal relationship, especially like in that context of the local church and church membership, it just goes back to accountability. It also goes back into like, there's a honestness that happens within that as well too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know the covenant relationship that you're in, you can be honest with that person in that. Mm-hmm. And when stuff happens, you know, there are, I think, you know, when you even look at like a covenantal relationship that, let's say the people of Israel had with God in the Mosaic covenant, there's a lot of stuff to that.
Right.
There's blessings and curses, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And there is blessings and also there is a discipline that may happen in your local church as well too, based on what happens to local members and what they've covenanted to.
Right.
And they will, I think the thing that people don't look at a lot of is when discipline is being, I don't want to use a harsh word because discipline too is a recorrecting.
Yeah. Right.
Because church discipline is a implementation of that covenantal relationship, and showing people like, hey, you're blind to your own blindness right now.
Right.
Right. And this is coming, and this is, we're going through different books in my Pastors and Leaders Training Institute in my local church. And, we were going through Life Together by, Bonhoeffer, by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And, you know, say what you will about Bonhoeffer. I mean, some people are saying, you know, he gets a lot of like, he was a secret heretic or something like that. But at face value, when you read Life Together, he's saying, are we going to be bold enough sometimes to accept the fact that we are sinners in this community? Are we going to actually like not cosplay as these holier than thou people and just accept the fact that we're sinners and that we shouldn't be surprised when sinners do sinful things?
Right.
So I think that's part of covenant community, is that honesty and that openness. But also too, knowing that you're there with a people that you should have and know as your kind of family,
right?
Your local church family that you've covenanted to.
Yeah.
I just find this so clearly sometimes the way that we do, baby dedications, if you will. I know the Presbyterians are going to get ticked at this, but the way that our church does baby dedications, we are not Paedo Baptists. We are Credos.
Right.
But the way in which we do it, there is a covenant that is happening. When we do it, we often say that the baby dedications are just wetless baby baptism.
Waterless.
Yeah.
Waterless. Yeah. Yeah.
Baby baptism. Cause you are saying the way in which we do those child dedications, like, we, you know, Theo's parents are covenanting to the Lord and raising him in this way of the gospel and teaching him the Bible and teaching him the gospel and showing him what it means to be a believer. The church is also covenanting with us as well, too, in that will the church help us in raising our son in a gospel community,
right,
whose focus is on Jesus and his word. And so, yeah, it's, you know, and then what happens if one of us is breaking that covenant?
Sure.
Well, you have to be honest about that. And
you
so
do. You do. Absolutely. Yeah.
And there has to be some ramifications for that as well, too. So that's what I think of covenant community when I'm just spitballing off the top of my head. But yeah.
Well, no. And well, and that's all right. Like, I mean, I think when we think about the term covenant, too, right, I think our mind naturally, and I would say rightly so, goes back to the Old Testament and goes to the context and the importance of covenants. We look at the covenants that God made with Abraham, right, with David, with Israel, his people, right? And we see an intentionality that's there, right? And a relational quality that is deeper than just the Platonic surface level relationships that I think are very common in local churches today, especially larger churches where it's hard to be known and it's hard to plug in because you're, you know, one of 1,000, 2,000 people. That's hard, right? Right. That's a difficult thing. So when we're talking about the importance of covenant community, what we're talking about is raising the bar and raising the level of the importance of being part of a community in your own life, right? I think we have lots of different communities that we find ourselves in throughout our lives, right? You have your own family, right? Blood family, right? Mm-hmm. That's a type of community that you're raised in, right? And then you have school. That's a type of community. If you're doing sports, that's a type of community. You get into work, that's a type of community. And then all the different, maybe, you know, extracurricular things that you'll do. You'll have your people that you go, you know, hang out with and do, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or your video game community, or these are my, I'm going to go out and, you know, and hit the coffee shop with these people, right? Life is sometimes by necessity compartmentalized in that we have little sections of our life where usually things stay very neatly within those circles and don't cross over often. That's just honestly how life is sometimes. We can't help that, right?
Yeah.
When we're talking about the covenant community of the local church, this community, this commitment to this community, is supposed to transcend all of those things and become the central, all-encompassing community that you find yourself interacting with and living in, right? Now, what we're not saying is that your only friends have to be in your local church. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that the only people you're allowed to hang out with are people in your local church. That's not what we're saying, right? That would be an overemphasis, a legalistic understanding of the importance of being a member at a local church and what that does, right? But what we are saying is that the people in your local church, those that you have covenanted together with, you have made a covenant with them. And in that covenant, you are saying, I am covenanting to you to be a part of your life in a way that is deeper than just the superficial friendships that this world, displays. I'm covenanting to you to desire to know you, to love you, to care for you, to confront you when necessary, to encourage you with the word. I'm covenanting with you to open up my life and my heart and my home to you, right? And that person is reciprocating that, right? Mm-hmm. When we bring people into the membership at Redeemer, we have a covenant that we all agree to, that coming in, these individuals know membership within the local church, it's not like I use the example of a Costco membership, right? At the beginning, it's not like Costco where you get your little card and you go in and get what you need. And when you're done, you're out and you don't come back until you need something again.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's deeper. It's intentional. It's familial. It's the closest bond that you'll actually have this side of heaven. Right. And I think there are too many people that view the local church simply as another compartment in their life, when in actuality, the local church is supposed to be all-encompassing. It's something that you revolve your life around.
Yeah.
So that it can be central to who you are, because it's that important. The people of God are that important, right? And if you've been listening to us for a while and you're just now hearing that, I would say, with grace and love, what have you been listening to? This isn't a new take from us, right? So this is something that we've obviously, championed in our discussions for a long time. But when we covenant together, right, when we bring those individuals into membership, we bring them in with an understanding that being a member at Redeemer comes with responsibilities. Mm. You have responsibilities not only to each other as members, but also to help protect the church, right, and to make decisions for the church, responsibilities in church membership, because we're Reformed Baptists, we're congregational, right? The congregation has a role in these things per our confession, right? So that's something that I have found in conversations with people that aren't part of, I would say, confessional churches. And again, what I'm not saying is that you have to be confessional in your church polity to have a healthy membership. Not what I'm saying. Plenty of churches out there that are not confessional that have robust memberships that people love each other, right? It's the idea. What you do need, though, is an understanding of the importance of the local church and your responsibility as a member of that local church to care and love and support and prioritize the people within your local church. Yeah. So when we talk about covenant community, that's what we're talking about, the importance of that. Because all of us, Jack, and I know we've talked about this, have within us an innate tilt, a bent toward shunning accountability. The lone wolf Christian, someone who is, just me and my Bible under a tree, it's very commonplace in today's culture.
Yeah.
And what we see is that those lone wolf Christians end up either showing that they were never truly Christians and they fall away, or they find themselves in deep sin, deep distress, because they do not have the accountability of the local church around them that we were designed to have. So covenant community is so much deeper than just a Costco membership. It's a admittance of my need for accountability, for encouragement, for all of these things. And it's a commitment to provide those things to my brothers and sisters as well. And Jack, I don't know about you, that understanding of covenant community, of covenant membership, I would say not only is foreign to a lot of people, but also very intimidating.
Yeah.
To a lot of people. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think there's I think we're talking about something that people think is like a loaded question.
Yeah.
I know that for a long time before I was a believer, I think the biggest thing that scared me about Christianity was some sort of like rug pulling that would happen. Like God would, I would commit to him and he'd pull the rug out from under me and he'd do something other nefarious or something like that. I think the biggest thing too is like It's funny. It's because we talk a lot about this in Calvinism, but like somehow I'd become a robot or something like that.
Sure.
Like I get right. hijacked. It's not really me who's in, who has the operating system. You know, I'm just this vessel and that's it. It's way more complicated than that. I think people, one, we become a more individualistic, a more recluse society. People don't want to commit anymore. If people have families, those families are dysfunctional. And the idea of being part of another family gives them some PTSD.
Sure.
That could be part of it. I think there's I think some people, if they're newer believers, they might think the rug pull thing might happen to them. Like if I commit to this. But if you're doing like if you're doing a membership class and you're talking about what's in this covenant that we're making to one another, like that's everything that you need to know about our local church is happening in those church membership like meetings that we
do. It kind of takes that kind of one, it takes that excuse away, but it also gives the ability for those that are truly struggling because of past experiences to be rest assured that rug pulling isn't going to happen. Right.
Yeah. I think one thing as well too is, you know, There's many different things that I've seen. I even showed Josh something earlier that I was just a little bit perturbed about when it came to church membership and
doctrines
and beliefs. I will say this, that most people have a assumption about church members coming after you or somehow non-church members infiltrate your congregation and then try and steer your doctrine and beliefs. I don't. Honestly, like I've never been a part of the church that happens that way, that non-church members, non-committed, non-covenantal members come in and try and steer your doctrines and beliefs. Like that's usually routed out by the membership itself.
Or an eldership that is doing what they're supposed to. Right. Because if you have those individuals that have been like those individuals, again, if the membership's doing what they're supposed to do and the elders are doing what they're supposed to do, those individuals don't stay long.
Yeah.
Right. It's usually not the members that have been there or the non-members, the attenders that have been there for a while for one reason or another. It's usually not coming from that avenue. I mean, it can. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's usually the kind of flash in the pan people that want to come in and stir stuff up that are usually gone pretty quick.
And even I will say this, we have members in our own local church that have some kind of different takes on some secondary issues.
Sure.
And they don't, and really that's not why they're there.
Yeah.
I talk about this with a couple of our members, like the reason why you're going to your local church every Sunday sometimes is not because you have great preaching. Like you can go on YouTube and find great preaching. Like, you know, a dime a dozen, right?
Sure.
You're not going there for some sort of crazy experience.
Right.
Because you could probably find that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like you're going there because the people, because there is a impactful way that God works, and he works through his church, his people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's why you should be going to the Lord's Day service every Sunday. Well, will the message blow your socks away every single Sunday? Probably not.
No. And I can hear the people now, right, saying, well, I mean, shouldn't we be going to hear the word and going to, you know, be sitting under the preaching? Yes, of course. That's not what we're saying. What Jack is saying is you can't be choosing a local church based on the things that wow you the most. Be like, I want to go where the speaker is super dynamic, or I want to go where the music is super loud, or they play the songs that I like. That's what we're talking about. You can't be going to a church with the motive of experience. You have to go to a church that is the most biblical. right? And yes, that includes the preaching. Yes, that includes the music, right? But as Jack and I have said before, and what we're trying to get at is, you can have the best theology within the local church, but if that is not being lived out amongst the membership, it shows that they don't actually understand the theology that they are teaching.
100 miles wide and an inch deep.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yep. It has to be both. It has to be both. You can't just have one or the other, because there are plenty of churches out there that are very, very, I would say, community oriented, do a lot of things together, and theologically awful. Right. I wouldn't go to that church either. Right. You need both. You need the biblical standards being observed and practiced, as well as how those things are lived out within the local church, is in the covenant community. A good local church seeks to cultivate both of those things. And if you have a church that elevates one or the other, you're not going to have the balance that a local church is supposed to have, because one, you're going to be all heart and no head, or all head and no heart, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul tells us it's both and, right? Yeah. And a good local church strives to be able to balance both of those things.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is just, be patient with your local church.
Yeah.
You may have gone through a move recently. And maybe there's a new local church that is planted and they're just not there yet.
Sure. Sure.
But doctrinally, they're doing the best that they can with what they're given.
Sure.
I would just say stick around.
Yeah.
And try and be faithful to them. If they're the best shot that you have at a good local church, then.
Exactly. And be part of the individuals that cultivate that.
Yeah.
Right. Because again, I think too many individuals come into the church with just wanting an experience or wanting something. It's consumeristic, right? It's this consumeristic mentality coming into the local church that if I'm not getting exactly what I need the way that I want it, then I'm going to leave and it's not worth me staying. Right. It's like, well, what if more of us went into the local church, went into those covenant communities, covenant memberships, right? And ask the question, what is it that I can give? Mm-hmm. How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? How can I give of myself to better the body? How can I be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters here? The motives are everything, man.
Yep.
Motives are the difference between joy and discontentment. Mm-hmm. It truly is.
Yeah, there's always, I mean, this is why we talk about marriage in a covenant way.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. If one spouse is not upholding the covenant that you made, that you gave vows to each other, mm-hmm. then yeah, you should talk about those things. Yeah. And it's the same way in a local church covenant community. Like if some people are not upholding that covenant, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a place and a time to talk about those things and say like, hey, like what's going on here? You know?
Right. Right.
So yeah, there's that too. I mean, there's a very deep thing that happens too, in covenants sometimes, in which if you even read that first covenant with Abraham, it's very gruesome, weird cutting apart of the two animals and God coming up as a torch through them.
Right.
He actually says in that covenant, if you do not fulfill this, it's actually go back on me.
Yeah. It's he makes the different. Covenant with himself.
Yeah.
Because he knows that Abraham does not have the ability to uphold it.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. Yeah.
So you have that kind of depthness to the covenant, but then you also have the Mosaic covenant is very much like there is a mounting of blessings, there is a mountain of curses, and there's a mounting mm-hmm. of blessing as well too.
Yeah.
So there's that dynamic to it as well. But then you also have this new, or sometimes we call it even the renewed covenant, in which God pours out his spirit on his people and he gathers them up.
Yeah.
And it is this new exodus that's happening in which he's freeing people from the principalities that are the pharaohs, mm-hmm. so to say, of mm-hmm. sin and death and the grave. Mm-hmm. And he's giving them this new way out of Egypt, the old Egypt, and into a new place where he's creating a new people. And so,
yep.
But yeah,
that's it, man. Yeah, and it's shaking off the our tendency and our bent to be individuals, right? I mean, God did make us individuals, right? But that's not the excuse that we should go back to shun the accountability that comes from being part of a local church. Mm. And that covenant community that we're talking about is a necessity. You need it. You absolutely need it. There is not one person that doesn't, that professes Christ. We are designed to need it. And just like Jack brought up the covenant of marriage, right? Like we would rightly so come against the professing Christian, whether they be a male or a female, that is enjoying the benefits of being married without actually being married, right? We would come against that. If you're sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and enjoying those benefits without, you know, putting your name on the line and saying, okay, you're going to commit, we would shun that. Mm-hmm. In the same way, we have to make sure that we are not approaching church similarly, and that we are looking at all of the things that we are benefiting from the local church, enjoying from the local church, the relationships, the community, but I'm not going to commit to it for one reason or another. Why? If it's worth enjoying, it's worth committing to, whether it be in marriage or the local church. So let's not downplay the importance of that covenant community, because we're enjoying the benefits of it, and you see the benefits of it. And if it's a church worth staying at, it's a church worth committing to. And that's where that covenant community, that covenant membership comes in, is it's very, very important. So I feel like we could go on and on this topic. This is kind of our bread and butter as the reformatory. But Jack, any last thoughts before we send the folks away?
No, I can't. I mean, I could say stuff, but it's that moment right now where it's like, as a preacher or teacher, you could say 20 minutes more stuff, but it's like, right. No, I'm just going to cut myself off right now.
Yeah. Let's leave him wanting more. Leave him wanting more. We'll revisit it. We always will. Yeah. For sure. Well, Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here, buddy?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's mission here and vision here at the Reformatory to make the local church central to the believer's life, and that's where reform actually happens, you can follow us on the instant, or you can follow us on the sociables, not the instance. I'm getting that first.
Don't forget to eat your instant crumbs.
You can follow us on the sociables. You can drop us a DM. Drop us bad church stuff.
Yes, reels. Send us the reels.
Send us the cringiest reels you have. I
rot
guess,
rot our teeth with all of the Instagrams. Yes.
You can DM us, like I said. You can, if you have an episode idea, any questions, comments, concerns for us, you can always go to the metaverse, if you will, the Facebook.
That's right.
Mark Zuckerberg, man, he might go to jail. I don't know. He's in a trial right now. I don't think he's going to jail, but
another trial.
He's getting a monopoly split up on
another trial.
And then you have the Instagrams, like we talked about. They go well with chocolate and marshmallow. And then you also have the sociable, formerly known as Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you can follow us on those sociables. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us on other platforms.
That's right. Yeah, there are a few ways, and we appreciate you guys doing any or all of them. If you want to be a super fan, that'd be really cool. You can like and rate this podcast on Apple and Spotify. That's really cool. We have a YouTube if you want to watch this as well as listen to it. Search for the Reformatory Podcast on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. You can click the link in the description of this episode and get some Reformatory merch. We got some cool shirts over there, all through Amazon. High quality, reasonably priced. It's pretty awesome. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. That's right. It's the best Patreon in the Reformed podcast world. Guaranteed. And one of the cheapest as well, for $5 a month. That's all it is. It's less than a Starbucks drink a month. You could become a Patreon supporter. And if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We're going to go over there right now and talk about who would win, 100 men or a gorilla. That's,
gosh. Oh, my gosh.
It's going around. And we have thoughts. Lord. We have thoughts. Yeah, we have thoughts. So we thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.